I'd like for us to turn into our Bibles to Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 66. I was sorely tempted to skip over this section because we really dealt with it a lot when we were dealing back when Christ made the prediction in verse 27 through 31. But as I studied and as I looked more at it, I felt like the Lord would have us to consider this once again. I believe that there was a reason the Spirit of God put this in there twice in the same chapter, that we ought to consider it. So if you'll look at Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there came one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity once again to stand before thy people and share your word. I pray, Father, that you would direct our thoughts and our minds. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, and that, Father, we would then take and receive it and act upon it. Father, help us this morning not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the word. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen. We see here the sins of Peter, the sin of lying. He says, "I don't know him." That was a lie. That was not just a small lie, although I don't know that we can quantify lies in that respect, but we do so on a regular basis. It wasn't just a small lie, it was a huge whopper. He not only knew him, he was intimately involved with him. He was of the chief of the apostles. He was one that had been taught by the Lord. It was the sin of ingratitude, sin of not being grateful to what God had done for him and being a follower of the Lord Jesus. It was disloyal. And lastly, and we probably could put others involved here, but it was a breach of a promise. If you look down there in verse 71, it says, "But he began to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not this man of whom ye speak.'" The original language portrays, that this was like you take an oath in the courtroom. "I swear upon my word," or "I swear upon the Bible that this is true." And this is a breach of a promise of breaking an oath. We see in our text the fulfillment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Back in verses 27 through 31, Jesus said, "You will be offended. You will deny me. You will deny me three times before the cock crows twice." And thus, as we see the fulfillment of Christ's prediction, granted, it was only a few hours later, maybe 6 or 7, 8, 10 hours later, that this fulfillment came true. Whom among you can tell us what is going to happen 8 hours from now? You might wish, you might hope, you might expect, but it would not be infallible, even as our Lord's prediction came true. So we see our Lord's infallibility, we see His omniscience, and thus we see His deity. Peter had seen and known all these qualities throughout the Lord's ministry of 3.5 years. And so the question that we could ask is, why did he not take Jesus' words more seriously? Why did he not say, he said things before and they came true, and now he says this and he should have taken it more seriously? The Apostle Peter, or should I say at this time, the disciple Peter, trusted his own faith, his own abilities, his own love, his own understanding, more than the Savior's. I'm reminded, and Peter would have known this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. But instead of obeying that exhortation that the proverb gives, we see that Peter trusted his own understanding. Peter was self-reliant. Peter was self-sufficient. Peter was self-centered. Peter was self-directed. If I were to take and sum all those things up, I would say that Peter was prideful. Prideful. In the past, we have said that sin makes us stupid. I was listening to another pastor, and he said this, and I like it, so I'm going to adopt it. Sin makes no sense. Sin makes no sense. Let's go all the way back to Adam and Eve when they rebelled in the garden. They rebelled against a God that is all-powerful. They rebelled against a God that was all-good. To rebel against a God that is all-power is hopeless, is senseless. To rebel against a God that has all-power, what hope of success do you have? And if we rebel against a God that is good, what is the purpose or the reason for it? Sin makes no sense. But what was true for Adam and Eve is equally true for you and for me. Sin makes no sense. And thus can I tell you this morning, pride makes no sense. Pride is dangerous. Peter had the Proverbs, as we've said, and that's not the only proverb that he disregarded. Peter had the warning of the Lord just a few hours previously. Peter had seen the Lord heal his mother-in-law. He had seen that the Lord had saved him from drowning. He had the special commendation that when Jesus asked him, "Whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you." And Jesus commends him for that. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he got to see the Lord in His glory along with Elijah, along with Enoch. But in his pride, he thought he knew better. In his pride, he thought he could stand on his own. Now I'm going to read you 4 or 5 verses. I'm going to read them slowly, but probably if you want to check these out, you probably would want to just write them down and then look at them later. But Proverbs 6:16 and a little bit of verse 17. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto Him. I believe that everything in Scripture has its order, has its place. The first in the order of the 6 things that the Lord hates, the first thing is a proud look. proud-looking eyes. And so we see that an abomination to the Lord is a proud person. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Other Proverbs says that a wise man seeketh counsel. A wise man is one who listens to counsel. Proverbs 13:10, I just gave you that. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall." Here was the Peter who was proud. "I'll never fall. I'll never deny you. I'll never turn against you. I'll be willing to even die." Proverbs 29, verse 23, "A man's pride shall bring him low." We have, in addition to the warnings that Peter had in the book of Proverbs, the warning, and I'd ask that you turn there with me toward the end of your Bibles, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it seems like Peter has come to an understanding of what his problem was. In fact, I would submit to you, if you read through 1 and 2 Peter, you will see many allusions. In fact, I did that this week, and I'm not going to speak on them this morning, but I find many allusions to even his fall. It seems like 1 and 2 Peter come out of the precipice or out of the crucible, that's the word I'm looking for, the crucible of that time that when he denied the Lord. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." I won't leave out verse 7, "casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And then if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever." It's as if Peter, as he's writing his epistle, said, "I heard the word of the Lord, and I ignored it. I didn't take heed to it." You need to listen to the word of God, because man in his glory fades away. But the word of God, the word of the Lord, endures forever. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 2, it says, "As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Peter says, "I rejected it, I spurned it, and look where it got me." And so we to listen to the word of the Lord, even as Peter rejected the word of the Lord. We are more culpable than Peter was. We not only have the warnings he had, we have his example, we have his warnings to us. We are not above Peter. I want you to consider four things very quickly. As we look at Peter in this passage here, we see that Peter shows us how far we can fall. How far that we can fall. I opened up a website, and one of the things that greeted my eyes was the head of God TV. I don't know if you're familiar, but it puts encouraging things on video on the internet, and it's become quite a large website and a large to-do. Has to step down because of sexual immorality. Peter shows us how far we can fall, and we look around us to men that have achieved great success in ministry and success in life and see how far they can fall. From the spokesman of the disciples to the cursing denial in that place, in that palace. But not only does Peter show us how far we can fall, He shows us how shamefully we can fall from the words, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when Jesus asked him, "Will you two go away?" Peter's answer was, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." But when the mage says, "You knew him, you followed him," he says, "I do not know him." Not only does Peter show us how far we can fall and how shamefully we can fall, but it shows us how quickly we can fall. In the upper room, "I will not deny you." And if you look at verse 66, it's interesting. "And as Peter was beneath in the palace," so I've entitled it "The Lower Room." From the upper room to the lower room, in just a very few short hours. I don't know about you, but I've gone to conferences and to quote revival meetings and where I was blessed and I was encouraged and I was enthusiastic. And maybe you've experienced the situation where you've come to church and you go out thanking the Lord for the message and you get in the car and the kid gets on your nerves. Or the wife gets on your nerves, and you may not be cursing, but you're yelling and you're screaming and you're frustrated, and everything that happened in the last 2 hours has just gone out the window. How quickly it can change. Peter shows us how quickly we can fall. But lastly, Peter shows us how little can cause us to fall. How little can cause us to fall. Look at the first temptation. In verse 67, "And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And that also was with Jesus of Nazareth." This young maid was stating an obvious fact. She wasn't making an accusation. She wasn't making... Peter was paranoid. And so we see how little can cause us to fall. As we've looked at 1 Peter, and you can look at 2 Peter 2, I believe we can see that Peter learned from his sin. Peter was sharing with us what we need to know. He was obeying the Lord's command that we find in John chapter 22, to feed my sheep. When we are tempted to be self-reliant, self-sufficient, self-centered, self-directed, in a word, when we're tempted to be prideful, let us not only remember the words of Peter under the inspiration of God, but the example of Peter's failure and where pride got him. Folks, today the world celebrates pride. But pride is not a strength. It is not a strength. Pride sounded very good in earlier in the chapter. When Peter said, "Although all shall be offended, yet not I." Those words sounded good. But not so much when we get to verse 71 and it says he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man." Pride sounded good in the promising, but did not look so good in the performance. It brought failure and shame and disappointment. And Peter's sin, though heinous, though destructive, though devastating, Peter was able to be forgiven of that sin. You know, if we think about it, in a sense, Peter's sin was more heinous than the sin of Judas. Peter had been warned. Judas hadn't been warned. Peter was one of the inner three. Judas wasn't one of the inner three. Peter swears with an oath that you would give in court, saying, I don't know him. And so what was the difference between Judas and between Peter? One is in heaven. If you look at 1 Peter, he says, I have an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And Judas is in hell. Consider that both had the same pastor. Who was their pastor? The Lord Jesus Himself. They had the same assembly of believers, the other disciples. They both had the same commission. They both had Jesus pray over them. Both were sorry for their sins. So much so that Judas takes that 30 pieces of silver and throws it on the ground. And so what is the difference between Judas and Peter, one in heaven and one in hell? Can I stop right now for just a moment and tell you there is a heaven and there is a hell. It's not a popular thing to say today. And there are people that are in hell and there are people that are in heaven. And there are people that have sat in Bible Presbyterian Church, I pray God not, but most likely who will go to hell. And there are people that have sat, Lord willing, in Bible Presbyterian Church that will go to heaven. So what is the difference between one person and the other? What is the difference between Peter and Judas? The difference is that Peter goes to the Lord with his sin, and Judas takes his sin to the grave. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, let us learn from Peter the devastation of pride. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Folks, Pastor Jim can fall in the area of morality. Pastor Jim can fall in the area of truthfulness. Pastor Jim can fall. Take heed, lest he that thinketh he standeth. If you say, oh, I could never do that, you are on a banana pill waiting to go down. But not only let us learn from Peter the devastation of pride, let us learn the danger of ignoring God and His Word. God's Word and prayer. Peter ignored God's Word when he said, Peter, you're going to do this. And he says, no, Lord. You're not right. And notice that a little bit later, he ignores prayer. Instead of praying, he sleeps. But not only the devastation of pride and the danger of ignoring God's Word, let us take heed to the damnation in seeking forgiveness in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas tried to receive forgiveness from the church. Say, from the church? How did he do that? Do you remember where did he go? He went to the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. And he sought absolution. He sought forgiveness. He sought to make it right with them. Folks, you cannot receive forgiveness in a church. You cannot receive forgiveness in a deed. You cannot receive forgiveness in penance. The only way that you can receive forgiveness is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the sacrifice and in the penalty that He paid for you and me on the cross. Judas tried to receive it from the church, but Peter ran to Christ. If you look in that last little bit there in verse 72. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto them. Folks, let me tell you something. There's hope when we call to mind the Word of God. When our minds are directed back to the Word of God. What was it? Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. We're told in a parallel passage that when that cock crowed, that Jesus looked at him. I don't know if there's going to be videotape in heaven. I don't know if there's going to be instant replay there. But I'd like to see that look. Folks, I don't think it was a look of condemnation or a look of, I told you so. I think it was a look of, oh, Peter. And I believe that look invited Peter to him. And as we look at the resurrection morning, we see that Peter, when he hears that Jesus is risen, John and Peter run to the tomb. John, being younger, beat Peter out. But you know who was first in the tomb? It was Peter. Peter ran to Jesus. That's where the forgiveness is. That's where the redemption is, in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. Judas tried to atone for his own death by death. Peter found his atonement in Christ's death. Salvation is in Christ alone. Forgiveness is in Christ alone. Dear brothers and sisters, may we learn today the devastation of pride. May we learn the danger of ignoring God's word in prayer. And may we learn from Peter the damnation in seeking forgiveness in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, folks, aren't you glad that Jesus said, Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. Can I tell you this morning that you have one that intercedes on your behalf even this morning in the heavens above? Can I tell you that you will be sifted by Satan? He desires to destroy you. He desires to destroy your testimony. But this morning, I would exhort you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time. Let us pray. Father, this morning we pray that You would teach us from the life of Peter, that You would teach us from the words of Peter, which were inspired by the Spirit of God. We ask You this morning, Lord, that You would work in our hearts and lives. Father, we thank You for the life of Peter. We thank You for the restoration of Peter. We thank You, Lord, for the words that he has left us. We ask, Lord, that we would take heed to them. And we'll give You the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn